Our New Testament reading today is from Acts chapter 27. Since much time had passed, and the voyage was now dangerous because even the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to what Paul said. And because the harbor was not suitable to spend the winter in, the majority decided to put out to sea from there on the chance that somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, facing both southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. Now when the south wind blew gently, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete close to the shore. But soon a tempestuous wind called the Northeaster struck down from the land. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along, running under the lee of a small island called Cauda. We managed with difficulty to secure the ship's boat. After hoisting it up, they used supports to undergird the ship. Then, fearing that they would run aground on the Syrtis, they lowered the gear, and thus they were driven along. Since we were violently storm-tossed, they began the next day to jettison the cargo, and on the third day they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul, you must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on some island.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." For today's meditation on God's Word, we welcome Pastor Douglas Brauner of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
My family and I moved from Oregon to Colorado 17 years ago. Having family back in Oregon, we knew that there would be numerous trips back and forth between the two states. There are miles upon miles between cities when making this journey. Since I drive well-seasoned cars, these trips have the potential of turning into adventures. My wife and I were on our way back from Oregon and were hoping to make it from Portland to Ogden, Utah, when our trip became an adventure. Our car died between Burley, Idaho, and the Utah border. You'd think that if you drove vintage cars, you'd have some mechanical expertise. I have none. So as not to look totally incompetent to my wife, I lifted the hood, pulled on the cables, and grunted a few times, hoping that I might accidentally fix the problem. Needless to say, we spent the next day in Burley. Car problems can lead us to despair. We might define despair through the eyes of the 276 people on board ship with Paul. It's dangerous to sail the waters of the Mediterranean from September to mid-November, and suicidal after November. It's sometime in October, after the Day of Atonement, when the ship's pilot and its owner, along with the majority of the passengers, decide to set sail. Disregarding Paul's advice to stay at Fair Havens on the island of Crete, they leave when a gentle south wind catches their attention. What does Paul know about sailing? The ship's pilot had more experience, and the owner wouldn't put his ship at risk, would he? Shortly after rounding Cape Matala, a gale force wind from the northeast strikes the ship. The storm, traveling over Crete, pounds the ship for 14 days before it's shipwrecked. In those 14 days, the sailors and passengers did everything they could to save themselves. Having secured the ship's dinghy to the deck, they bind the ship with ropes. Fearing that they might drift into the rocks and sandbars, they lowered their gear. They throw the ship's cargo and tackle overboard. Luke describes their state of mind when there's nothing left for them to do. At the end of verse 20, he writes that all hope of being saved was at last abandoned. Like the tackle and cargo, they throw their hope overboard. It's important to note that Luke doesn't mention what Paul did during these days of torment. But finally, he stands in the midst of everyone and delivers the greatest "I told you so" of the Bible. "You should have listened to me," he states. However, instead of turning away and sulking somewhere on the ship, Paul speaks words of hope. "Now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." Paul's words are the turning point in the story. In the midst of the storm, the people believed Paul. They had no evidence that they'd be saved, but they trusted the word and sailed on. And though the ship is wrecked, not a life is lost. There are many times that we are driven to despair by the storms of life. We do all that we can to survive, but nothing works. We try to fix our relationships only to make the problems worse. We try to fix our marriage, but our spouse doesn't want anything to do with our fix. Our attempts to fix our lives might leave us tempted to abandon hope. In the midst of the storms, we see Jesus standing among us and his word of promise spoken. A word of promise that tells us that he will be with us always, no matter how badly the storms rage. His word of promise that tells us that there is nothing that can separate us from his love. His word of promise that tells us that our sin-filled failures are forgiven through the mercy of his blood shed for us. The journey of faith and the promises of God is a journey from despair to hope. A hope that will never disappoint because it is rooted in the crucified and risen Christ. Amen.
We thank Pastor Douglas Bronner of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for today's meditation on God's Word.